Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Jesus feeds the 5,000 with five barley loaves. Or I should say, Jesus feeds the big crowd with these five barley loaves. Now, this episode in the gospel today, John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, it's a little bit unique in this respect that this story is present in all four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all contain the feeding of the 5,000. Now, we don't hear the number 5,000 in the reading today. That's a detail given to us in a different gospel. But it doesn't just say 5,000, it says 5,000 not counting the women and children. So it was probably a crowd of 10 or 15,000. So when Jesus goes up the mountain and he sees this huge crowd before him, and you heard how the gospel unfolded. Now, over the next 5 weeks, including tonight, over the next 5 weeks, we are going to be reading through the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Every week, we're going to read a little bit more, each Sunday, and it's going to take us 5 weeks to get to the whole thing. It's a long gospel. It's a long gospel. And I'm going to talk a little bit in detail about tonight's segment of it, but I'm also going to give you a homework assignment and give you a little, you know how you go to the movies and you get a preview sometimes? I'm going to get you a little preview also of what's coming in the next few weeks. Jesus, in the Gospel of John chapter 6, goes into what we call the bread of life discourse. He miraculously multiplies this loaf, and then he tells the people gathered, that huge crowd, he says to them, I am the bread of life, and I came down from heaven. And they say to him, we know your mom and dad. What are you talking about? And they weren't buying it, okay? And they failed to see truly who Jesus was. So he says, I'm the bread of life, come down from heaven. And they're a bit incredulous. They're not sure what to believe. And then after he tells them that, then he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And at that point, the crowd goes into the full facepalm mode. They're like, he's nuts. And they argue with him. And he doesn't back off. He reiterates this point over and over again. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then he caps it off by saying, or you have no life in you. You must eat in order to have life in you. We go back to the Garden of Eden for just a moment. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree, and its fruit brought death. Remember that story? There was a tree in the Garden of Eden they were forbidden to eat, and they ate, and it caused them to die. And now, this is the first time we hear about food that is going to make us live. And Jesus says, you must eat this, my flesh, or you will have no life in you. You have to trust me when I tell you that when we Christians look at the cross, we see the cross as the tree of life. And the cross is the tree of life, and the fruit of the cross is the body of Christ, the bread of life. And we must eat that. So, this is the preview of what's coming in the next few weeks. So you must eat my body and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. And they're just too much to take. First he says he came from heaven. Now he says you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they start leaving. They start walking away. They can't take it anymore. So he turns and he says to his apostles, "Are you going to leave me too?" I want you to imagine yourself in a face-to-face conversation with Jesus right now. I want you to imagine our Lord is looking at you, looking into you, and he says, "Are you going to leave me?" Are you going to leave me too? And then we hear Peter. Hopefully Peter's answering for me and you too. Peter says to Jesus, "Where would we go? Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life." So that's kind of where we're going over the next few weeks. And now I have your homework assignment. So what is your homework assignment? The first element of your homework assignment is to find your Bible. You know it's there somewhere, okay? You have to find it. The second thing is you have to carefully dust it off, okay? Be very gentle. It's a sacred word of God. It's holy. So you dust it carefully. And then you open it to John chapter 6 and you read the whole thing. You read the whole thing and you put yourself in this scene with Jesus climbing the mountain. And there he is up on the hill. And there's this huge crowd out in front of him, and you're in that crowd. And then Philip says, or Jesus says to Philip, "Hey, where are we going to get food to feed all these people?" And Philip says, "I could work all year, a whole 200 days worth of wages, almost a year's salary, and I couldn't give them just a little bit." But Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do. There was a boy there. And we're pretty sure he was a poor boy. He wasn't wealthy. He didn't have means. We don't know a lot about him. This is one of those things that scripture scholars speculate from just the little tiny details we get. But we think he was poor because of what he was going to eat that day. He had barley loaves. Barley loaves were the food for poor people. See, they weren't the $5 or $6 loaf of bread. This was the 99-cent loaf of bread. That's what he was carrying with him. He didn't have the good stuff. He was a poor boy. What could he possibly give to God? Maybe you've thought that. What could I possibly give? I want you to step back for a moment. I want to remind you of a truth. And this truth needs to sink into you. You need to come to a place in your life where this is the lens through which you see life. That everything that you have is a gift from God. Everything. Everything that you have, everything that you will ever experience, the fact that you are alive, the fact that you exist, that you have air to breathe right now, that you have a job, that you will get a job, if you get a scholarship, that you got a scholarship, I don't care what it is, I don't care what you earn, I don't care how hard you work, everything that you have begins with God's gift to you. Okay, y'all with me? So we have nothing to give to God that we didn't get from him first. But he does expect us to give. But Father Mike, we got 15,000 people here. All I got's 5 loaves of cheap bread. What could I possibly do? Might as well keep it for myself, right? Won't do any good. And I promise you, I am not talking about you reaching for your wallet. I promise you. But we have to be givers. Now, I don't know why you're here tonight. I don't know if someone twisted your ear and drug you here tonight. I don't know if that's why you're here. I don't know if you're afraid you're going to go to hell and that's why you're here. Those are okay reasons. Okay, they're not the best reasons, but they'll do, okay? At least you're here. But, I wish you were here to give. How I wish you were here to give your sins to God today. How I wish you were here today to just give this hour to God. To give it to Him. Have you ever given anything to God? I mean, really and truly given it? See, because here's the thing. The reality is sometimes it's hard to give to God. Because we spend a lot of time trying to bribe God. Telling Him, I'll give you this if you give me that. I'll say this prayer or that prayer if you'll give me this or that. I'll go to church, but you have to bless me, right? And we're not really giving anything to God. We're negotiating with Him. I'm talking about just giving. Just truly, really, honestly, from in your heart, to give Him thanks. To give whatever it is you give, your time, your talent, your treasure, that you give and you say, you know, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I'm giving it to you, trusting, not asking for anything. We have a poor boy with very little, and he gives these 5 loaves. And in the hands of Jesus, a little becomes a lot. I asked you a few minutes ago to think about letting a principle of the Christian life sink into you. And that principle is this, that there is nothing that you have, there is nothing that you will achieve, there is no thing that you will attain that doesn't have God first. And then the second thing I want you to know, and I would love for this to sink in, is you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive the giver. If you give to God, God will give to you. Shaken down and pressed together. Not maybe in ways that you have no idea what He wants to give to you, but He can't fill a hand that's already full. You have to give. And that's the story of this boy. And what does he give? He gives his bread, and God blesses it and distributes it to who knows how many thousands of people. And then they take up, how many baskets full did they take up at the end? 12 baskets full. One for each apostle, okay? One for each apostle. And so the apostles, these baskets symbolize something. It's the same thing from the wedding feast of Cana when Jesus made all of that wine. Remember all the wine he made? It was too much to drink. There was going to be some wine left over. So he had all the wine. We got all this bread, and it's all being saved up for something, and it's going to be used really symbolically throughout history, because in a few minutes from now, from the back of the church, guess what we're going to bring forward? Bread and wine provided by who? Say, I gave that bread and wine. No. See, God gives it to us that we can do what? That we can give it. That He can bless it. That He can give it to you. And it's no longer bread and wine. What is it? The body, the life of God. The bread of life. See, you can't outgive Him. Eternal life. Eternal life. This is the story that's going to unfold over the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about the bread of life. We're going to be talking about you must eat my body and drink my blood. And we're beginning tonight with this reality that the boy had to give the bread, and that we give the bread and the wine every week, and that we have to be givers, to give from our heart. I have nothing to give, Father Mike. You do. You do have. You have your thanks to give. You have your sins to give. You have your time to give. You have your talent to give. The whole Mass is giving thanks. as we hear today of the feeding of the 5,000, as you go home tonight or tomorrow to read John chapter 6, I want you to hear God calling you to be a giver. If you're not a giver, you're not a Christian. We give an hour. We give thanks. We give for the material needs of the church. We give the bread and wine. And we receive more than we could ever give from our God, who is the giver.